You're listening to a presentation brought to you by Mystery Play Internet Radio. This is Clyde J. Gale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and thank you for listening to this podcast. You're listening to a series that I call Clyde's Weird Stuff.
Now that's weird.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no ease, .com.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and welcome back to another outstanding podcast. I'd like to say that today's podcast is sponsored by GoToMeeting.com.
Scoob, I smell something weird.
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
From the esoteric capital of the world, this is Glastonbury Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Glastonbury Radio, and Now That's Weird, syndicated all over the world now, and hope you're enjoying what you're hearing this evening. So many people listening in on FM across America now, as well as the internet worldwide. We get emails from Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, India, Belgium, France, England, the USA, South America. It's just amazing. So many people around the world connecting up with this show now, and so much interest in strange phenomena. If you have an interest in it, tell all your friends about the program, and the more people that listen, the more they will become enlightened to some of the things you don't hear through the normal media. Now, my next guest on the program this evening is no stranger to strange goings-on, as they say. He runs a website called AboveTopSecret.com. He's one of the founders. And AboveTopSecret.com, if you've not been on there before, believe me, is quite amazing. Our forum is on there. We have the official Now That's Weird forum on AboveTopSecret.com, and lots of discussions going on in there. Simon is actually based in the UK, although if I remember from his accent, he always sounded American. Simon, good evening.
Good evening, Ross. How are you doing?
I think it must be because you've spent some time abroad, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. I actually originally grew up in the United States. I lived over there for about 13, 14 years, I believe. But I'm based back in my homeland of England, yes.
Wonderful. Now, when did ATS start? Tell us about the origins of AboveTopSecret.com.
Well, ATS, AboveTopSecret.com, before it actually took on that name, I started it in 1996. And it started as a small website on a free web hosting provider. And in early 1997, around March time, I actually bought the domain name www.abovetopsecret.com, and that's where its roots lay back a good 10 years ago now. And I originally started it as a very static website. There was lots of web pages with lots of information written by quite a few authors across the internet. And since that time, it's taken on a chat room. It took on a message board. The membership grew, and in its present state, it's one of the largest user-driven communities on the internet.
Mm, it is amazing. I think is it over a million hits a month now?
Yeah, it's about a million individual people as well. It's not just hits. These are over a million different people. I mean, in terms of hits, it's well into tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions. But we actually look at page views to determine our statistics. It's a lot more accurate. And it's not as I don't know, off-putting. I mean, we actually get about 5 million page views. That's individual pages loaded per month.
That's amazing.
Now, when people use the term hits, they tend to think of anything such as an image, a text file, loads and loads of things within an individual page as a hit. So that can be quite deceiving.
Mm.
But we have an absolutely huge audience. It's tremendous what it's become.
Well, I know you've put out a U2U to all the members through admin today. I've seen a copy of that. So I know we've got quite a few questions in the forum posted, and we've got quite a few emails coming in for you. But before we start with the emails, and keep those coming in, please, studio@glastonburyradio.net, let's just have a look at some of the features and new features of ATS, because AboveTopSecret.com has always been known as a sort of conspiracy forum. But the conspiracies section is only one part of the forum, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, conspiracies is obviously where our roots lay, but we actually have, across the ATS community, there's actually 142 different forums. Now, these forums range from your typical conspiracy forums, such as 9/11 conspiracies, Area 51, aliens and UFOs, which is actually still our most popular forum to go to. And it ranges all the way to things such as mythical beasts and the paranormal and conspiracies and religion, So it's really far-ranging.
Well, I've seen, since we've had the Now That's Weird forum, kindly hosted by yourselves at Above Top Secret, I've seen the hits on that particular thread going up quite considerably over the last few months, and a lot of interest in the show, thanks to you guys at ATS.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great show. I mean, you're obviously getting out what we're trying to portray on the internet. You're doing it on the airwaves, and while we have our own ways of doing so, it seemed like a natural, you know, collaboration. So we're pleased to have you on the ATS.
Mm. Now, you've rebuilt the site. Oh, well, obviously, I'm pleased to be there as well. Let me just quickly say that. It's a wonderful site to be involved with. But some of the new features on the site, since you've rebuilt the site or redesigned the site, it's become very, very interactive, hasn't it? There's a lot of stuff. You can actually upload podcasts onto the site. You can talk live with other people. There's just some amazing things you can do on there now.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, we realized that the site was had tremendous appeal, and it was so widespread internationally that we were receiving thousands and thousands of visitors a day, into the tens of thousands. And one of the things we identified as an issue was that all the veteran members, I like to call them, people who've been there for some time, you know, knew their way around the website. They wanted the information there on the screen. They weren't too bothered about an aesthetic appeal. However, that was causing problems for guests. So earlier this year, we ran some surveys on the website, and we got some feedback and did some research. And we did a quite a big redesign. We've codenamed it Dark Matter. And basically what we've done is we've tried to implement a lot of what's called Web 2.0 functionality. A lot of, you know, like you said, a lot of interactive functionality into the website.
Mm.
And that while we've always had like the entire forum system in place and the chat rooms, we've recently introduced the podcasts that you mentioned. We have user blogs which are freely available to any of our members. We have our own form of Wikipedia, which we call TinWiki, which is at www.tinwiki.org. That again is user driven. We've recently introduced social networking as well, which is very much like MySpace, where our members can now edit their profiles and they can define their favorite threads on the website. They can list their podcasts, their likes, their dislikes, you know, the friends on the website. They can add a little bit of commentary about themselves. We're really trying to make it interactive and take it forth as we're obviously trying to appeal to as many people as possible, and we feel that this is a good way of getting people back to the website.
Definitely is, without a doubt. Now, I'm going to go into some of your favourites in a moment, what your favourite topics and podcasts are. I also want to question you on the World Trade Center disaster, because that's one of the most active talks about things on ATS over recent years, and we've certainly had more than a fair share of discussion about it, I think, on Now That's Weird as a programme. But let me just move through a couple of other things first, before we go into the first break. What are currently the most active and popular subjects on ATS?
Well, like I said, aliens and UFOs is in first. I believe war on terrorism ranks up in the top three as well, and that's followed closely by just our general news section. We do have a separate news content sub-website, I guess you could say, where our members can come, they can post a news article. It gets quickly screened by our moderator team just to make sure everything's fine, but you know, so long as there's nothing which violates our quite simple terms and conditions, it's on there for everyone to see, and that's proven very popular. You mentioned 9/11, that's in the top 10 as well. But yeah, the broad conspiracy theory subjects all rank in the top 10, and they're proving extremely popular.
And you've also got a forum now for Conspiracy Masters as well. What's that all about?
There is indeed. Conspiracy Masters is a new subsection of our website we've created. And it's basically a place where people who are quite well-versed in different subject areas, which are relevant to ATS, you know, they can post their articles, their papers they've written. They can, in turn, just, you know, generally mingle with our members, and you know, they can respond to feedback. It's still an ongoing process, but we've managed to attract the likes of people like John Lear, who's very well known amongst the alien and UFO community. We've recently managed to get on board one of the very early sort of internet pioneers of getting the word out about Area 51, a person named Norio Hayakawa, who was one of my original inspirations for creating ATS. So it's absolutely brilliant, and we're looking to get as many people on there as possible.
That's wonderful. Okay, we need to take a break. We're going to come back and talk some more in just a moment. If you've got any questions for Simon, it's studio@glastonburyradio.net. We're going to be talking over the next hour about some of the conspiracy theories that seem to have substance and which are his favourites. So if you've got any questions for him, get them in now.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and let's take a break from today's show. I've got a very important message for you. You know, these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something on a computer with your friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. You know, I've tried this thing, folks. It's just like you're in the same room. You can share your computer screen. You can pass keyboard and mouse control over to another member. You can even draw and highlight on the screen. And here's the wonderful thing, low flat fee pricing. It lets you meet as often as you want for as long as you need instead of worrying about those minute-to-minute costs. Try it yourself free for 45 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Again, that's gotomeeting.com/podcast. You really got to give it a try today, all right?
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show. Glastonbury Radio, live from the heart of Glastonbury, England.
Yes, and what a magical place it is too. A very lovely place to be doing a show from. As I look out my window here, although it's dark now, I can see Glastonbury Tor right in front of me. And it's just quite awe-inspiring, I have to say. Lovely place for the studio to be based. My guest in hour three is Simon Gray. He's one of the founders of AboveTopSecret.com. If you're not already a member, sign up. It's totally free. Believe me, you will love it. The first time I went on there, I was basically gone for about 4 days. My other half was saying, what on earth are you doing? And then she found it as well, and then she's the same, addicted like I am. Absolutely amazing forum. Now, I know a lot of you have posted questions in the forums there for Simon, and I will try and get to as many of those as I can. But Simon, if I can just move to the next thing, really, that I want to talk about, is what are your favourite subjects on the ATS forums? There must be things that you personally find yourself addicted to, forum-wise.
Yeah, well, myself, I do tend to frequent the military facilities and the government facilities forum, which is where the roots of ATS started, and that's where my original interest was, so I do tend to hang out in there quite a bit. I also drop by the 9/11 conspiracy forum and the aliens and UFOs forum. Funnily enough, my favorite thread at the moment is actually the discovery of a new exoplanet similar to Earth, which is in space exploration.
Now, I actually saw this on the news. I don't know if it was last night or tonight. They were saying it's got a very similar gravity to Earth and it could support life. But it's, what is it, 150 trillion years away?
It's one hell of a distance. It's funny because it's not in the slightest bit conspiracy related, but it goes to show that, there's something on there for everyone. Not even, the kooky people like me who like the conspiracy forums. So there's quite a bit out there.
Now, you were talking about the military things and the Area 51 and whatever. I don't know if you listened to the first hour of the show tonight, but we had Paola Harris on the program. And one thing I like to do is I like to try and get my guests going into ATS so they can answer questions from the listeners that didn't get to air. Now, what's your feeling on what Paola Harris does? She believes that there are underground bases, undersea bases, especially in the Adriatic and towards the poles, which contain alien civilizations here on Earth. What do you make of that?
Well, it's an interesting theory. I mean, I personally am hard-pressed to believe it. That doesn't mean I wouldn't like to. I would need some pretty concrete evidence to suggest that such places do exist. I personally believe that there are deep underground facilities built by the militaries and the governments of the world, but they may have sinister purposes, and I'm sure they do, but I certainly don't believe they have any alien involvement.
Now, the strange thing with Paola, that I actually met Paola at one of the big conferences. I lecture around the world now, as you know, on the paranormal and my own research on interdimensional entities and theories. And I met Paola there, and she was showing footage of Colonel Corso from the American military, and also from Pete Hellyer from the, he was the former foreign minister, if I remember rightly, from the Canadian government, both of whom said they had direct dealings with aliens here on Earth and were involved in the manufacture of alien materials, which we were now using in our technology. Now, they're quite powerful people to come out with statements like that.
Yeah, definitely. That's very true. I mean, there are some high-ranking government officials and even ex-presidents who said they believe in aliens. You know, they think life is out there. And some of them have even gone so far to say that they've had contact, in secret bases. And, you know, if that's true, then that's certainly intriguing. Unfortunately, for people who wish to take that information in and believe it straight off the bat, just through experience, I've developed a hard skin for those kind of things, and I really am one of these people who does like to see evidence nowadays.
Yeah, I'm the same, Simon. I mean, I'm one of these people that always starts off from a fairly sceptical approach, because I believe everything has, or not everything, but most things have a rational or logical explanation. But when I saw the footage of Colonel Corso talking, she showed a DVD of an interview she did with him, and also Hellier as well. It's pretty convincing stuff. And others that she showed were talking about aliens that were roaming around freely, alien families that were being held at bases like what we call Area 51, which is probably not the real Area 51. But, you know, these aliens are actually living there on the bases, helping the military develop new technology and new weapons as well. Now, I mean, that's in some ways quite frightening, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's always been the long-standing debate over whether there is a alien civilization / base underneath Dulles, New Mexico, in the United States. That's a hugely popular topic on AboveTopSecret.com. And I remember when I first got into studying Dulles, I mean, the implications were tremendous, that there was, you know, a multi-level facility run by aliens with the collaboration of the U.S. government and military fields. And, you know, if that does exist, then that is going to change the entire outlook of anyone who says the aliens have never visited this planet. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I would absolutely love to believe that's true. I know I always take the view of the skeptic when I've spoken to you before. And I do that for the simple reason that I've just never been given anything that, you know, lends me to think that this could very well be true. But that certainly doesn't mean I don't want to believe. I mean, I'll continue to research these things, and should I come across the information, it's going to be in a click of a finger up on the website.
Definitely, definitely. Now, let's go to some of the questions on the website listed on ATS, as well as coming to the emails, which I'll do in just a moment. First one comes from a user called Denied, and he says, I'll be listening. Thank you. I've got a question for Simon. I've enjoyed watching ATS become bigger and better over the last few years. How do you see ATS in the future, say, in 5 years' time?
That's a really hard question to answer, to be honest. I mean, I mentioned to you earlier about the Web 2.0 functionality, which is it's just a way of making things more interactive, less static than when the Internet first began. From the view now ahead into 2007, 2008 at least, we're continuing to expand our presence on the Internet, and we will obviously hope to attract as many people from the normal mainstream audiences as we can, and we're doing that through search engine optimization. We're trying to make ourselves, you know, easily more searchable on the likes of Google and Yahoo. But we're also looking to move into video uploading and video sharing on the website. I mean, as you know, at the moment we do podcasting and the chat rooms, but we obviously want to take it a step up and get video on there. So, I mean, the sky's the limit as to where the future goes. We've, one of my business partners, one of the co-owners of the website, Springer, has just recently wrapped up filming of a documentary about the recent UFO sighting at the O'Hare Chicago International Airport over in the United States. Mm. And that's going to be hopefully shown on TV sometime later this year. So we're moving into television. I'm here on the radio with yourself, so we're obviously trying to reach out, and I'd like to think that's just going to grow and grow.
Fantastic. What do you actually think of the UFO sighting over Chicago O'Hare? Because that's something we've discussed on the program a few times now.
Yeah, I've debated it with Springer plenty of times, and there's certainly some valid points as to why, you know, this could very well be a UFO. And this is one of these things where I am sort of 50-50. I don't know whether to believe it or not to believe it, but on this one, I'm growing towards believing this was an actual UFO encounter. And when I say UFO, I mean, obviously, most people will interpret that as of alien origin, but if this isn't some advanced military aircraft, then, you know, there's a lot to be looked into.
Definitely, definitely. Now, I agree. I mean, there are certain UFO sightings. I personally think it's interdimensional, but that's because of part of the research I'm doing with Phantom or Fraud. But interesting stuff. Let's go to some more on the website here. Silverado says, "Awesome, Simon. I'll be on the road Friday night, but I can't wait for the podcast to listen to." And he says, "On a side note, your avatar just reminds me there are 9 more freaking months to new Battlestar season. Dang it." Love it. Love the style. And, yes, we will be making this available as a podcast on ATS, and I just hope I have a bit more luck getting the podcast up this time than I did last time. I had to split it into about four parts last time for some reason. Now, another one here. This is from Hickix, and he says, good luck, Simon, and don't forget to mention Hickix. There you go, Simon. There's a cue for you.
Hi, Hickix. How you doing? I hope you're listening tonight, but if you're not, I'm sure between me and Ross, we'll get the show podcasted onto ATS for you.
We'll definitely do that. Now, the Utah Bigfoot Hunter, says, hi, Simon, I will be listening. Simon, you really are the man. I've heard you before, and I want to give conspiracy kudos to your views and, of course, style. Thank you for posting the show here on ATS. I would certainly have missed it if it was not for your effort. Now there is chance of that happening. Thanks for all you do. It's not going unnoticed.
Thanks very much for the kind words. I really appreciate it.
Okay, another one here. This is from Ragster. Says, hey, Simon, I hope you have a fun time on the radio. It's always a blast. But here's a question that maybe could be answered. Do you believe the truth behind the paranormal is within our own understanding of the universe today, or have we yet to uncover any credible information to explain the truth of the paranormal, as in supernatural happenings, abilities, ghosts, and even aliens?
Yeah, this is one of these questions where Ross is the better person to answer than myself. But I don't know. I mean, if it's possible that ghosts, you know, do exist, there's a point between life and death, then, I mean, at this stage, it's very possible there's communication taking place and we simply just don't understand it or are not capable of perceiving it correctly. I don't know what the correct phrase for that is, but, I mean, who knows? I would like to think that at some point in time, humans will develop scientific methods to prove pretty much anything and discover, you know, great new achievements. But, you know, I'm wide open to that, and I certainly hope that at some point in the future we can explain anything.
Well, I certainly think, Simon, from the research I've done, bearing in mind I started as a skeptic, my book comes out in July, which will cover the roller coaster ride I've personally had from skeptic to believer. I've seen enough evidence now to convince me there is an afterlife and that there is a supernatural and a paranormal. But again, when I go to an investigation, I have to say that 90% of it normally has a rational or logical explanation. It's just that other 10% that intrigues me. But I do believe that people have becoming more open now. I think science, doctors, people that, say, 10 years ago would have dismissed it are now starting to take it seriously, and that has to be a good thing because the debate is opening to a much wider circle now.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The same can be said for UFOs and even maybe stretching over to aliens, because the mainstream is picking this up. It more and more we're seeing, albeit short sections on CNN, MSNBC, or whatever channel you watch, These stories are making, you know, second-level headlines. So obviously people are becoming interested in this. Besides those who typically go on the internet, sites like ATS, it's becoming more widespreading and wider reaching. And I think that's absolutely brilliant, because the more people we can get involved, that's more minds to debate, more minds to research, and, you know, it should ultimately lead to the right answer.
I'm just laughing at the next one here, Simon. I'm just going to do a couple of these because he's put quite a few in here. I say he, it could be he or she. Derage, restrained rage, the taunted jester. It says, question one, when will Duke Nukem forever be released? Question two, when will Duke Nukem forever be released? Third time, when will Duke Nukem forever be released? He says, it's a conspiracy, damn it, a conspiracy, I tell you. How many goblins can the wobbling goblin wobble? And so it goes on. It's nice to see the humour still there on ATS as well.
Yeah, well, I'm a Duke Nukem 3D fan myself, so, you know, my heart's out there with you. It probably never will, but, you know, fingers crossed.
We'll come back to some more questions from ATS in a moment. If you haven't checked out the website already, it's abovetopsecret.com. There are some very, very good forums on there. Do check it out. But warning, if you go into there tonight, you'll probably be there for the weekend. It's one of those forums you just cannot get away from once you've started reading it, believe me. And of course, the Now That's Weird official forum is hosted there as well. AboveTopSecret.com. Check it out. We'll be talking some more to Simon in just a moment. Any questions for Simon Gray, get them into me now, studio@glastonburyradio.net.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Plus, enter promo code BLU38 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Forbidden Knowledge Conference comes to Glastonbury on Saturday, July the 14th.
Amongst the guests are Nick Pope, the former UK government UFO investigator, known as the UK's own Fox Mulder; Paul Devereaux, TV presenter, author and expert on ley lines and earth energies; Tim Wallace Murphy, the world's leading authority on the Knights Templars; Peter Knight, author of the book 13 Moons and an expert on local ancient sites and mysteries; Anne Andrews, mother of the alien abductee known as the Indigo Child, Jason Andrews; Ralph Harvey, the UK granddaddy of witchcraft and head of the Order of Artemis; and top of the bill, Ray L, leader of the Raelian movement, who hit the headlines recently by claiming they had the world's first human cloned baby. It is extremely rare to see Ray L talking in the UK at this type of event, so this is a must not miss. Book your tickets now on 07990 797 979. That's 07990 797 979, or visit glastonburyfairs.co.uk. That's Glastonbury Fairs, spelled FAYRES.co.uk. Don't miss out, tickets are selling fast.
Glastonbury Radio, live from the heart of Glastonbury, England.
Would you like to advertise on one of the fastest growing radio stations in the world? The amazing opportunity comes with GlastonburyRadio.net to advertise from just £50 per month. How cheap is that to get to a world audience and sell your goods online as well as locally in Glastonbury? Just give us a call for more details on 0871 871 3666 or email studio@glastonburyradio.net and find out why so many people are choosing to advertise online. Tune in online at www.glastonburyradio.net. Why? Because it's a net thing.
Glastonbury Radio.
Log on to Mystery Play Internet Radio for the live show, Mystery Play Live, every Saturday, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time Zone.
Oh, that's my weakness now.
Have you ever ignored a hunch or gut feeling and regretted it later? Now you don't have to. You can have intuition, hunches and gut feelings on demand when you need them. My friend and colleague Dr. Laurie Nadell shows you how in her amazing new book, Dr. Laurie Nadell's Sixth Sense, Unlocking Your Ultimate Mind Power. She's offering more than a dozen bonus gifts that add value to her book, including a training exercise by one of the US military's top psychic spies. You can learn the basics of remote viewing from a master psychic spy, plus she is offering an MP3 audio to get your brain into an intuitive state. This weekend is your last opportunity to receive these incredible bonus gifts when you buy Dr. Laurie Nadell's Sixth Sense, Unlocking Your Ultimate Mind Power on Amazon.co.uk. To claim your bonus gift, sign up at www.unlockyoursixthsense.com/onetimeoffer.html. Scroll to the bottom of the page to sign up for your bonus gifts. That's www.unlockyoursixthsense.com/onetimeoffer.html.
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hello, Mr. Play Internet Radio fan. This is your host, Clyde J. Kale. Would you like to listen to some more old-time radio shows? Do you have a particular series you're interested in? Well, then visit our website, www.mystery-otr.net. Again, that's www.mystery-otr.net.
Great. Glastonbury Radio, live from the heart of Glastonbury, England.
Welcome back to the show. It's Now That's Weird. We're into the last 25 minutes. Get your emails in now. studio@glastonburyradio.net. And my guest is Simon Gray from AboveTopSecret.com. If you're not already a member, it's free to join. Make sure you do join up because our forum's there. Now That's Weird, the official forum. Now, I've had a couple of emails coming in saying that the Now That's Weird site's gone down. Apparently the reason for this is pure traffic tonight. We've got so many listeners now to the show. When everybody hits the website at once, it sort of goes into overload. So we are working on that. We will get that sorted. And I know John out there in Gettysburg, who hosts that site for us, is working on it as we speak. So we'll try and get that sorted as quickly as we can. Now, I've got one here from Demon88UK for Simon. He says, it's a great show. I'm having problems accessing nowthatsweird.co.uk. But in the meantime, what does Simon think about Rosie O'Donnell's resignation?
I'm afraid to say I have absolutely no idea because I don't really follow that.
Right, okay. We won't go there. We'll move swiftly on then in that case. Who is Rosie O'Donnell, anyway?
I know she's an American actress, well, possibly for then. She was a host on The View, but apart from the fact she's always arguing with Donald Trump, I have no idea what the hell she's been up to.
not a name I recognise. I suppose that's being over here in England. It's one that's just slightly out of our reach. Now, Simon, let me ask you, what's your favourite podcast that's been uploaded to Above Top Secret? Because I've been scouting through them, and as you know, I do a podcast show here on Glastonbury Radio where we take some of the best podcasts, put them together. My personal favourite always has to be Springer and Skeptic Overlord when they get together. I think that's absolutely amazing. But what's your own personal favourite?
While you were saying that, I was thinking exactly the same thing, pretty much. There was a podcast which Dave Rabbit did, where he interviewed my colleague Springer when he was staying at a hotel in Chicago doing the TV show. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant. The first 20 minutes was basically Dave trying to call through to the hotel room and all the trouble he was coming across because he wouldn't give my partner's real name over live radio. And the Dave Rabbit does some brilliant, very adult-oriented podcasts, which obviously have the ATS conspiracy slant, but at the moment that's definitely my favourite.
Fantastic. Now, there are some great ones, but of course, if you, the listeners, want to do your own, you can. You can put together a podcast and upload it to AboveTopSecret.com and share it with the world, which I think is a fantastic idea. And I love the idea of you putting this together with regards to television as well, where people can put their own TV podcasts up there, vidcasts, which I think are going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're hoping that'll take off, and obviously we want to get as much collaboration as possible. And just to drop it quickly, one of the things we're obviously looking to do is to get podcasts, audio files out there, videos out there, and hopefully get some well-known people within the fields involved, and then get everyone back to Above Top Secret to discuss it and, you know, create sequels, I guess, and follow-ups. I mean, if we can do that, that's a great revolving circle. And it just keeps putting more information out there for everyone to read.
And it'll be, I think, like a better YouTube, really, because, you know, people go out there with their video cameras and they capture all sorts of wonderful phenomena. And if they've got a facility where they can actually put that up and broadcast it to the world, I think that's just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the video sharing / podcasting, it's in the works and we're currently developing it. And, yeah, that's our intention. I mean, once it gets in there, we want to have the ability for our users to upload videos which are obviously pertinent, relevant to the different forms we have on the website. And if we can get this working and it proves popular, that's going to be absolutely brilliant.
That's brilliant. Right, one thing we've been trying to do over the last few weeks, of all the listeners listening to the show live tonight, I want you to make either one phone call. I know it's late. In America it's not so late as it is over here, perhaps. But for all of you on email, I want you to send out one email to as many of your friends as possible and just tell them to tune in. Just say, hey, I found this great radio show. Tune into it, see what you think, and let's watch the figures go up whilst this hour is on. Now, the World Trade Center. Something we have to come on to, Simon. We've talked about it quite a lot on the program. Last week we had one guest talking about it for almost an hour, saying that it was thermite, it was a controlled explosion, there was a 14-foot perfectly circular round hole, it could not have been made by a plane going through it, there must have been other reasons, the building could not have collapsed in the way it did. Now, all of these things sound like conspiracy theories, but there seems to be more and more evidence rolling towards something being true about that. What's your take on it?
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned thermite, so I'll stick to that. The collapse of the building, the official storyline, is just complete nonsense, to be honest. And now, fair enough, it has some merit. They said that a combination of the initial impact from the planes hitting the towers and then the preceding fire caused the structural collapse of the towers. Fair enough. I mean, from anyone who doesn't do any investigation, yeah, that sounds plausible. But the minute you see those towers fall, you think, no, that's a controlled demolition. Now, there's a couple of guys I can remember. There was one named Les Robertson. He was a World Trade Center structural engineer. And now he said that these towers were designed to withstand crashes into the skyscrapers. Because back in the 40s, I can't remember when, a plane hit the Empire State Building, I believe. And they were thinking, no, we can't have that happening. So they, you know, it was set out in their minds, let's design the buildings to be able to withstand this. And another person involved in the World Trade Center project, a guy named Frank DeMartini, he said he believes it could sustain multiple impacts from jetliners. Now, at the time of the construction, they thought it would be able to withstand the strike of a Boeing 707, which It's a smaller plane, but in terms of weight, I think at the time the 767s were comparable in load, so they work out pretty much the same. So I can't see the planes as being the sole cause of the collapse of those buildings. And then it leads you on to other things, such as, the second point that the preceding fire caused the collapse. Well, anyone who's watched repeats of the unfortunate footage where the planes hit the towers, you see the planes smack into them, you see an absolutely humongous fireball from the kerosene going up, and then you see some isolated pockets of fire. Now, these towers burnt down in about 90 minutes, but for pretty much straight after those planes hit the towers, all that you could see was smoke. Now, smoke doesn't indicate fire. It indicates there's a fire which is oxygen-starved. It's not burning at full intensity. That couldn't have caused it. Then you have to take into other things like the structural framework. It had a hugely strengthened steel core of about 50-odd columns, I believe. It had welded and bolted prefabricated flooring, an external tube structure, which was almost a mesh, I guess you could say, and that was why it was able to supposedly withstand an airplane strike. You take that into consideration, and I did a bit of research a while back, and steel melts at something like 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit. Even a normal fire burn within the building would reach about 1,200. Kerosene burning reaches about 1,800. So obviously it's not enough to melt it. It's enough to cause deformation and weaken the steel, but certainly not to an extent to cause it to collapse.
Exactly. And also the steel seemed to go missing as well. There was a lot of steel that was supposed to be being shipped out of New York, which people mysteriously never saw.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, another thing about the steel is the whole idea that it was jutting out of buildings after the collapse. Now, if the World Trade Towers suffered just a typical pancake collapse from what you would see on TV, one, you'd expect lots and lots of just debris everywhere. Now, yes, there was debris, but this stuff was smoldering. There was melting steel. And then I found out that there was a 600,000-pound piece of steel jutting out of Number 3 World Financial Center, which is 400 feet away. Mm. Now, if this was just a simple collapse, how did that get over there? It was an explosion, definitely.
I think so, too. Now, what would be the reasoning behind this, Simon? I mean, who would want to do something like that? If it was, we've heard things of like a CIA plot. We've heard of a US government reason for going to war with Afghanistan and Iraq. But what's your own thoughts? Why would this have happened?
Well, I can think of two or three possible reasons. One is insurance money. I can't remember the guy's name. It's Silverstein, I believe. He got about $7 billion when the towers went down. So, I mean, that was a possibility. Like you said, I think this was perfectly timed to coincide with George Bush's, you know, attempt at getting the American public angry to support his decision to go to war. And thirdly, which really strikes me as odd, and I can't believe why hardly anyone is questioning this, is how in the hell did World Trade Center Building 7 come down when it wasn't even directly impacted? Mm. It went down with the same precision of controlled demolition as the other two buildings did, and this place was only suffering from minor structural fires. But there was plenty of documentation in that building, you know, which I'm pretty sure people wanted to get rid of. So I think that is a pretty good indication of another reason why.
I agree. Okay, well, we've skipped one of the ad breaks here, and I hope my syndicates are not too upset with me for this, but I just felt it was worthwhile carrying through this, so I hope I'm not upset anyone out there, but we're going to skip through to the next one while we talk about this. Now, if you've got a view on the World Trade Center and what you personally think, get that into me now, studio@glastonburyradio.net. I've had another question come in for you from Xeros at ATS. It says, could you say what paranormal experiences, if any, you have personally had, Simon? And he puts brackets, ooh, controversial, what?
Me and paranormal, I'm afraid not. I mean, I stand by my word. I think I saw a UFO at one point. It's certainly nothing I could identify, and I'm pretty good at identifying pretty much any aircraft that flies over the sky. So I think I've had a UFO encounter of some sorts, but no, I haven't seen any ghosts or subject to ESP, so no, nothing as far as paranormal, I'm afraid.
Okay, let's go to Eden on the ATS forums. There's a few questions for Simon. At what point did you notice that ATS became the go-to site for alternative theories and discussions, and what were you feeling in that moment?
Well, unfortunately, it was due to 9/11. That's probably the single most identifiable point where we just skyrocketed. We became the source to which everyone would come to find out information. Our access just went through the roof. We've received a huge increase in traffic ever since, but I think it was that one identifiable point where we realized we were really onto something, and people just came to us for information. So obviously it was a huge boost off of a terrible event, but that definitely stands out.
Mm. Okay, one from Nita Grant, who was my guest in the second hour this evening. She said, what are your personal theories or feelings with regards to David Icke?
He's a strange one, I'm afraid. I know you've spoken to him before. I guess myself, I don't really lend myself towards believing any of his theories. He was actually at one time going to be a conspiracy master on ATS, but we lost that one, I'm afraid.
Well, he did have a forum for a short while, but apparently he didn't get in enough to answer questions, did he, I believe?
We did manage to get a forum set up for him, but just due to scheduling conflicts and his busy schedule, we weren't able to support it. But, we wish David the best, and our readers love to hear from him if he ever wants to come back.
Well, he certainly gets an incredible number of additional people listening to my show when he comes on, that's for sure. I think a lot of people are interested in what he said. And I have to say, having listened to him, there are some things he talks about that do make a lot of sense. But unfortunately, I think because of some of the other things he says, people don't take him seriously, even on the stuff he's probably got right.
That's very true. That's probably why I myself primarily and a lot of other people are very wary of some of his some of his theories, is because some of it is quite outlandish, and then that obviously puts a stop on taking belief anything else he says.
Exactly. Okay, another question from Eden on the forum on AboveTopSecret.com. Are there any important issues that you feel are not being discussed currently on ATS, and is there anything you'd like to see more of?
In terms of important issues, I mean, I think we've been pretty good. It's quite funny, only the other day I was looking at one of the threads on ATS, which was completely out of my normal sort of viewing range. It was about all the bees apparently dying off from mobile phones. And I know this has been covered in the media recently, but I did a search, and this was covered on ATS back in 2004, so I think that's brilliant.
Mm.
And just more recently, one of the things which really should be making mainstream headlines is the deletion of all these White House emails that were written on non-government systems. And, when they have been on the official channels, they've been removed against federal law, and I think that really deserves more attention.
Well, let me start a conspiracy theory with you tonight, Simon, because we've been monitoring the site of Now That's Weird and of the Phantom or Fraud Project since this show started. And when we deal with, shall we say, difficult subjects, like, do you remember the Serpo Project, which turned out to be, I believe, a hoax? But when we were dealing with subjects like that, we suddenly noticed a massive hit on our website from US military and US government servers, hits that we don't get under normal circumstances to the show or to the site. What do you make of that?
It's true. I mean, in times when there are some really defining events, or even events which aren't picked up by the mainstream, but, really have quite... a disturbance or quite an effect on the kind of community that we have, there is a huge influx from the government and military short term. And I'm trying to think of an example here. I remember when the UFO was sighted over O'Hare Airport in Chicago, we noticed a completely out of the blue surge in traffic from the FAA, the Federal Aviation Authority. Now, that just has to make you think what's going on. I mean, we must have struck a chord, and we know we did. When these things happen, governments from these particular organizations come, and we know we must be onto something because, like you said, they just come out of the blue.
Mm. Well, I'm going to skip the last ad break as well, so I should really annoy them now. But this is so interesting. I feel I want to get the most out of these last 10 minutes. So apologies again for skipping these ad breaks. But they are ones that we've played more than perhaps we should do in the last hour. So I'm sure we'll get away with it. Right, T. Sloan, the next person on the ATS forum. today has stated that Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, knew that the intel report on Iraq was false, but he couldn't come out because he was under oath on the Senate intel panel. My question to you tonight, Simon, is even though Senator Dublin knew the intel was false, should he have come forth to try to stop this war from happening? Or do you think this is just political posturing from the Democrats? All in all, could there be a major cover-up about this war? Why would this senator risk his election value to become a whistleblower?
That's a hard question to answer. I mean, again, speaking from a completely non-political-based view, if he knew that that was false, he should have come out and said so. But again, I think a lot of the reasons why information is disclosed and not disclosed is through political motivation. They want to obviously garner the positive attention of citizens, and they will most likely do that any way they can, unfortunately.
Mm. Okay, D-Man88 posts quite a few questions, and because of the time restraints here, I'm just going to take a couple of these. One says, do you think there is a global trend by governments towards disclosure at the moment?
Easy answer is no, I don't think there is a global trend. Here in the UK, obviously, we recently implemented our own version of America's Freedom of Information Act, which is a very good step forward, but I think we need to have a lot more disclosure from governments around the world in order to get to the roots and the truth of a lot of the things which are on the public's mind.
Okay, he also goes on to say, what's next for you and the Three Amigos?
Well, we're obviously pressing ahead with the website. Like I said, we're trying to implement as much interactive capacity into it as we can. And, you know, we'll keep everyone updated on the board business forum on ATS.
Okay, Xeros says, how do you feel about the general view of conspiracy topics and how they're gaining interest given the medium of the World Wide Web? Given the fact that you have been pretty much a founder of the discussion on many controversial topics, how do you feel it is progressing and what do you see and hope for the future of ATS?
Conspiracies are always going to be on the mind of everyone, even those who have no interest in aliens, UFOs, Area 51 and so forth. It's human nature to be... to feel interested about something, to want to find out the truth behind something. So with the obvious trend in Hollywood to create movies based on government conspiracies and political cover-ups, more and more people are becoming interested in conspiracy topics, and through the use of the internet, that's the reason why ATS has taken off. It's a way for people to interact that they wouldn't do so in an all-day life. Mm. And, you know, I'm certainly glad it's happened because anyone around the world who sees something in the news, talks to a friend, you know, they can go to Google or wherever, they can tap in a few words, and chances are ATS is going to come in the top 3, if not the top 10, hopefully.
Mm, definitely. Now, let me just give a quick plug to the show coming up after me tonight on Glastonbury Radio. It's Dave Starbuck, one of the world's leading investigative journalists into conspiracy theories. He's one of the first people to come out with what he believes is strong evidence that Princess Diana was murdered. He's also talked quite strongly on the subject of whether Stuart Huntley was guilty of the killing of the two Suffolk schoolgirls. He personally believes it was a US airman from the local airbase that was guilty of that. So, incredible stuff. He's got another show coming up directly after mine tonight. He's a person that digs deep. He doesn't just take things at face value, so do check him out. That's coming up straight after my show. We're with Simon Gray at the moment from AboveTopSecret.com, and we're talking about the forum and about Simon's own theories. Now, what about the most ludicrous conspiracy theory you've come across on ATS? What do you think that is?
Well, it's going back to 9/11 again, I guess. One of our members posted the theory that the planes which hit the Twin Towers were actually holographic. Now, I have great respect for the member, but this theory is just way out there for me, I'm afraid. And at the moment, that poignantly sticks in my mind as the most ludicrous.
Mm, yeah, that does seem a bit strange, doesn't it? It'd be interesting to see if that member's listening, if he can come up with some proof on that as to why he came up with that theory. One for me that was intriguing was a lady that's done a lot of investigation into Stargates, and there was quite a long-running debate about Stargates on ATS, and a very, very active debate as well. Did you take part in that one?
I do remember the Stargate thread. I didn't actually take part beyond getting people to take their minds away from the movie and the TV show and actually try to research as much as possible into historical records to see if such a device actually exists. Beyond that, I was more of a silent reader than a contributor. But I do remember it very well, that we have had quite a few in the past, and they have proved extremely popular.
Okay, one last question I'm going to fit in. This one's from Sean, who's in Los Angeles in California. He just says, very quickly, could I ask a question which hopefully you can fit in before the end of the hour? Simon, is ATS a business to you? Will we see you sell it and leave at some time, or is it something that is heartfelt that you'll stick with through thick and thin?
It's extremely heartfelt. I mean, obviously, I created this when I was a teenager, actually. It adopts a business model. It's very professionally run. Me and my co-partners are both very competent, very successful people in the real world. We have a professional moderator team of the likes of absolutely anyone you can think of. I have no intentions of selling out, as you say, but nonetheless, should opportunities come along for us to expand ATS in a very positive way that our membership and our staff agree with, I may be open to that, but no, I'm not going to sell out in the sense that you think I would do. I have no intention of selling out at all, if that answers your question.
Fantastic. Simon, it's always a delight having you on the program. I hope you'll come back and join us again very, very soon. And maybe we can get all three of you with, as they say, the three amigos on the program together one night. That would be fun.
Yeah, I'll certainly do my best to do that, but I'd be happy to come back anytime you want, Ross.
That's brilliant. Simon, thanks for staying up so late and doing this for us. I know you're one of the most popular guests we get on through the forum, so I appreciate you taking the time to do it, and we'll speak again very soon.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Cheers now. Bye-bye. That's Simon Gray there from AboveTopSecret.com. If you've not been on the website, go and check it out now, www.AboveTopSecret.com. You'll find our forum on there. You have to sign up and become a member, but it's free and well worth doing, believe me. It's one of those forums that you will sit on for hours and hours and hours. There is so much information on there. If you're interested in the paranormal and strange phenomena, UFOs, alien abductions, conspiracy theories, believe me, it's essential. And don't forget, a chance to meet me down in Penzance tomorrow at St John's Hall. I'm going to be there at the Mystic Fair. It's mysticfair.co.uk, one of Karen Kay's do's. I'm going to be down there from 2 till 3 doing a lecture on what is a ghost. I'm going to be looking at the modern theories of the Phantom of Fraud project into interdimensional and spatial activity. So do come down and have a listen if you possibly can. It's been a great one tonight. I've really enjoyed it. Paola Harris, fantastic guest. Thanks to Nita for standing in for Elizabeth and, of course, Simon Gray from ATS. It's been great. It's good fun. I love doing this show, and I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoy doing it. Many thanks to Penny, whose birthday it is on Sunday. So make sure you send her an email and say happy birthday, Pen. And that's about it from me. I'm going to try and have a bit of a relaxing weekend where possible, apart from Penzance, of course. But I shall be back on the air again next week, same time, same channel, as they say, GlastonburyRadio.net. Don't forget to check out the website, which I know has crashed because of bandwidth tonight. We've had so many people hit the website, hundreds of thousands of people all trying to get in at once, but it should be back online soon. Now that's weird.co.uk. Thanks for staying up so late. Stay tuned for Dave Starbuck. We'll be back with you in a week's time.